Спирата. Please join me now for a time of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you. We are grateful to you, Lord, for your great grace. Thank you for your love to us. Thank you for the opportunity that you have afforded us once again to be in your presence, to study your holy word. Father, we confess before heaven and earth, before angels and demon spirits, that you are our God. Nothing is impossible with you. And we confess our total dependence upon you. Without you, we can do nothing. But we know that we are not without you. And tonight, Father, in all of our weakness and frailty, we look to you, the God of all strength and power. We ask for your anointing in this room. We ask for the infilling and the outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us. Lord, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us in a very real, personal, and powerful way. Cause, Lord God, each one of our lives, Father, to be changed as we interact with your word, your holy word. Lord, let your word find a good soil of us, of our hearts, and bring forth fruit. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, how many of you have been here with us every night of every evening? I have some special gifts for those of you who attend every meeting. Very special gifts, huh? What did you say? Okay, we have a special gift for people that only meet from. But you gotta wait till the end of the series to collect them. Tonight, our topic is Jesus in the Shadows. Now, I want to first let you know that for some of you who've been coming to all of our meetings, this may sound in some ways like we're going over material that we've already discussed from before. But I look, because of my particular orientation and my background, evangelical, Pentecostal background, and knowing where I came from and some of the issues that we are confronted with out in the evangelical world, one of the most important things for us to grasp and get our arms around is the understanding of our relationship with the law of God. And I probably spend a little more time on that than most evangelists do, particularly during the prophecy seminar. But if we don't understand our relationship with God's moral law, then in the end time, that relationship and that understanding is going to prove to be, if we don't understand it, it will prove to be very detrimental to us. So, tonight, I'm talking about Jesus in the shadows being, what do you think the shadows are? The Old Testament. Now, one of the most common statements that you hear from people who say that they're following Christ is that we are not under the law. Or something like the law has been done away with at the cross. Well, such statements would somehow imply that there is some kind of conflict going on between the present gospel of Jesus Christ and God's law, like they're at odds with each other. And nothing really could be further from the truth. There is a great conflict going on, but it's between Christ and Satan. We call that conflict a great controversy. There is no conflict going on in any of God's word. Certainly no conflict going on between the gospel of Jesus Christ and the moral law of God. Satan himself has set himself up as opposed to God's law, and his his strategy and his purpose is to get everybody that he can into sin. And we know by definition, sin is what? The transgression of the law. For it says here in 1 John 3:4, whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Also it tells us in Romans 4:15, because the law works that, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. So without the law, there could be no gospel, there would be nobody preaching the gospel, because the law is your sin. And the gospel is preached to bring salvation from what? Sin. One makes way for the other. So we can readily see that it's Satan who hates God's word. It's Satan who hates God's moral law. And it's the very voice of Satan himself who would utter the words, "We are not to keep God's law." Now, I understand that people who make these statements don't really fully understand what they're saying. I mean, I understand that they don't quite get it. And they don't understand that they're really echoing the voice of the devil himself. But because they don't understand it, doesn't mean that that's not exactly what they're doing, you see. And what they're really saying, or trying to say, is that we are not under the Old Testament law. We don't have two Bibles, by the way. We only have one. It's just one book, and it has both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And John 1:17, this is what it says. It says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, was there any grace and truth in the Old Testament? Well, let's see. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Well, was Jesus in the Old Testament, yes or no? Of course he was. So if Jesus was in the Old Testament, grace and truth have to be there with faith. Amen. So, now the Bible tells us that in Galatians 3:24, that's page 1159. I'm going too fast. I'm not giving you the page numbers in the seminar Bible. Page 1159 in the seminar Bible, Galatians 3:24. It says, wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by what? Faith. In verse 25, it says, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. A schoolmaster is a teacher or a tutor. Now, when I was in high school, just a few years ago, and in high school I took geometry around the 9th or 10th grade. I was one of those kids. But in geometry, one of the things that the teacher taught us was this theorem called the Pythagorean theorem. Now, the Pythagorean theorem basically says a square on the hypotenuse of a right triangle is equal to the sum of the squares on the two adjacent sides. Of course I do. I paid attention when I was in school, right? Now, once I understood the Pythagorean theorem, and didn't need the teacher to teach it to me anymore, does that now make the theorem invalid? Is it no longer a theorem, or is it useless from then on? No. I understood it, but it doesn't become worthless because now I've come to the understanding of it. So the law, the Bible says, is our tutor to bring us to faith in Christ. Now, we studied the Old Testament because what does the Old Testament do? It leads us to faith in Christ, if you're studying it properly. Somebody say amen, please. All right. Now, Christ is concealed in the words of the Old Testament. Now, actually, the Old Testament was the only Bible that the early church had. And they quoted from it extensively. If you read the New Testament,
message that's said in the New Testament is quoted from the Old Testament because that was their only Bible. So faith comes by hearing,